wanted to study together, though, a topic this morning since it is Father's Day. I had a few humorous little things in the bulletin, but I wanted us to take a very serious look at fatherhood this morning by asking ourselves the question, who's your daddy? Now, you've probably heard that question before, usually in kind of a derogatory way towards somebody after they've been handed their head on a platter or something to that effect. Somebody will say, well, now who's your daddy now? And sometimes, though, you hear it derogatorily toward children, especially in our society where we have a lot of children who really and literally don't know who their daddy is. And people will say that to them. Well, who's your daddy? You don't even know who your daddy is. And they say all kinds of things to that child that hurt that child. But we need to ask ourselves that question. Who's your daddy? You know, until cloning starts, we must all have a father. We may not always know, as we said, some children don't know who their father is. And we may not always know who that father is, or maybe, like some, the father may have died before they were old enough to get to know them, may have been orphaned. Or others may have been given up for adoption and never met their parents, mother or father. So here we are at Father's Day. And we know that, because they haven't perfected cloning yet, all of us had a father. That father may or may not still be living, and we may or may not have any relationship with the man who is our father. And in fact, many people call someone other than their biological father dad. It may be somebody else that raised them. I know my grandfather was that way. He was adopted by a man who was not his father after his father deserted them and his mother remarried, and he was raised by a man who was not his father biologically, but that became his dad. And that man raised him and gave him a home. And even after his mother died at an early age, that man continued to raise him and take care of him and provide for him through his youth to raise him up. Fathers are very, very important. And it's a sad thing to see in our society how many children are growing up without fathers, especially boys. They need that man to be a role model for them, to show them how to become a man. No matter how good a mother you are, you can never show a boy how to be a man. You just can't. A boy needs a man to look up to learn how to be a man. And if he doesn't have that, then whatever man he sees around is the one he's going to follow after. It may be an older cousin or a bigger brother, or it may be somebody they see on TV. They're going to follow somebody, and they're going to learn how to be a man from watching and imitating that man. And sometimes that can be a very disturbing thing, because some of those men are men we don't want our children to be like. You know, it was interesting that several years ago in a penitentiary, one of the greeting card companies, deciding to do something nice, took a truckload of greeting cards to the inmates of that penitentiary for Mother's Day. And they set up a little table, and they had the cards there, and free for those inmates who were in prison there to be able to send a card to their mother for Mother's Day. And they had so many coming to do that they had to send for another truckload full to get enough for these men to send to their mothers. They thought, wow, that went over so well. That was such a great idea. Let's do it again at Father's Day. And so they got a truckload of Father's Day cards, and they came and they set up their table. And you know what happened? Not one of those men in prison wanted to send their father a Father's Day card. That tells you something about the difference in the relationship they had with their mother and the relationship they had with their father. We live in a society full of people who didn't have a good relationship with their father. Some didn't have a good relationship with their mother, but this being Father's Day, we're going to focus on that relationship with a father. But we want to see then who our father is and what kind of relationship we have with our father. You know, DNA, in the physical sense, provides all the evidence to who the father is that is necessary. And it's a certainty, so much so that it's acceptable in a court of law. If my DNA matches with my son's DNA, then there's no doubt that he is my son. And if it doesn't match, then there's no doubt that my wife's in trouble. Now, y'all know by looking at him, you can tell by looking at him, he's my son. But you know, sometimes you get a child that doesn't look quite like that. Start saying, well, now, who is the father of that child? Doesn't look like who they claim is the father. And so sometimes they do those DNA tests to prove it, to see, is that really the father or not? Well, spiritually speaking, there is not a DNA as such, but there are some things that we can look at that we can know for certainty who our Father is. So we need to ask ourselves this morning, who is my Daddy? Spiritually speaking. It's a very important question. And so let's look at five things then in regards to this idea. First of all, let's ask the question, are you one of the people who has the devil for a father? You know, the devil has his children, and there are a lot of them. He's got a big family. The devil, he tries to get as many as he can in his family. He's kind of like the woman who a few years ago in the Walmart parking lot went and stole the baby out the car. Y'all remember that happening a couple of years ago? Well, you know, he'll go and steal children to be his. He'll get them any way he can. That's the way the devil works. But notice what Jesus says in John chapter 8 and verse 44. Jesus says, ye are of your father the devil. Now he's talking to some of those people, some of those Jews who were supposed to be the children of God. But he said, no, God's not your father. And they said, we have Abraham to our father. He said, no, Abraham's not your father either. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and the lusts or desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so Jesus tells us there's some ways we can tell if the devil's our father. He's a liar. He's a murderer. There's no truth in him. And if we're following his path, we're going to be full of all of the unrighteous things that there are in this world. We're going to be living in sin. All of us have been there at one time or another. You realize that? Everyone who's ever lived on this earth has been at a point in their life where the devil was their daddy. He was in control of their life. They had given their life, may not have realized it, but they'd given their life over to him. They were sinning. All of us have been there. We were sinning, and we were lost, and we were on our way to hell. Some here this morning may still be in that position. The devil may still be running your life, may still be in control. You may still be following his ways. And just like we talked about that child who's imitating a man to learn how to become a man, you may be imitating the devil and learning how to be like him. We need to watch out for that. Because the devil doesn't love his children. Jesus asked the question, what father of you, if his son asked him for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for an egg, would give him a scorpion? Or a serpent? Well, you know, and he asked these questions. He said, certainly not. You wouldn't do that to your child.
But you know what? The devil would.
The devil will promise you all sorts of wonderful things, and then he'll give you all sorts of poisonous things. That's the way he works. He doesn't care about you. If he cared about you, he wouldn't want you to go to hell with him. But instead, he wants as many people as he can to be suffering for eternity with him. Does that sound like somebody that loves you? If our own physical parents were to die and find out that they were lost, they would want to come back and warn us so that we wouldn't come there, just like the rich man did. He said, Father Abraham, let me go back and tell my brothers and warn them so they won't come to this awful place. Well, what's the devil do? Is that what the devil does? Oh, it's horrible in these flames and fire. I want to warn everybody not to come and make the same mistake I did. Is that what the devil does? No. The devil goes out to try to tempt and deceive and to cause others to sin and cause others to reject God so that they'll be right there with him. We don't want that for a father. It's not the kind of father that we want. But maybe you're one of the people who says, I'm grown. I don't need no daddy. I can make it on my own. I don't have any need for a father. I'm an adult. I stand on my own 2 feet. I take care of myself. You know, a lot of people like that. I don't think they have any need for anything. I think they can take care of everything themselves. But notice what the book of Romans says in Romans 1 and verses 21 and 22. He says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. See, they weren't thankful for the things. You can't even take a breath of air on your own. If it weren't for God, you couldn't breathe. And so he says, they knew God, but they weren't thankful. And they didn't recognize him as God. You ever know people that they wouldn't thank God for anything? They don't thank God for anything. They think they've done it all on their own. Maybe you're one of those people. But he says that they became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. See, the Bible tells us that if we think that we can get along on our own and that we don't need a father, we don't need God, then no matter how wise we think we are, we're fools. And he goes on then in Romans 1:28-31, he says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Those are some pretty horrible things. Haters of God. Being filled with all unrighteousness. So for all their bragging about not needing God to be their father and not needing somebody to tell them how to live, you know what they did? They followed the devil and became just like their father. See, you're going to have a father spiritually, one father or another. It's just up to you to determine which one it's going to be. Isn't that a wonderful thing if you think about it? We get to decide this. We get to decide, do I want the devil as my father? Do I want to follow him? Do I want to be like him? Or, as some may be, are you one of the people who has an earthly spiritual father? You know, there are some people who, looking for a spiritual father, will look to a human being. They'll look to a man or even sometimes a woman to be their spiritual father. Well, Jesus answers that as well. Matthew 23 and verse 9, He says, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven." Now, He's not talking about physical relationships of father and son. We know there's nothing, you know, that's what a son, you know, this is my father. He begat me. He gave his DNA to become part of me, to become my DNA. Well, we understand that. Physically, we all had a father. But He's talking about spiritual things, because in this same passage He talks about being called rabbi or teacher, and He talks about being called master. And He says, you know, you have one master, even Christ. And so He says, you have one Father, and it's not a man in a robe. That man can never be your father spiritually. Example to you, we may have many older brothers in Christ who will lead us and help us along the way, but we can't have any fathers, because God is our Father, or else He's not. If we want to take a man as our Father, then God's not going to be our Father. You see, this happens a lot in our society as well. You know, children who, you know, either because of divorce or because they were born out of wedlock before, whatever, they wind up with that mama, and they've got daddy over here, and mama marries another man that raises them, and so they call him daddy, and they call this man over here daddy, and they've got two daddies. And they spend part of the time with this daddy, and then they go visit the other daddy sometimes. And that's not an uncommon thing in our society. It's not a good thing, it's not an uncommon thing. But you see, God won't do it that way. God says, either I'm your father and you're only your father, or I'm not your father at all and I'll disown you. You can't share me with some other man or with the devil and say, well, you know, you're both my father. It doesn't work that way. God makes it clear. And Jesus says, call no man your father upon the earth. One is your Father which is in heaven. Spiritually, He is to be our Father. Yeah. Whether we follow that spiritual Father that's here on earth, or whether we follow a spiritual Father in heaven, is our choice. See, God gave us free will when He created mankind. We were made so that we could choose. We can choose. Now you think about that. When was the last time a child got to choose who their father was? I didn't get to pick my father. You get to pick yours. Now, I don't complain. I had a wonderful father. Some of you may not have been as lucky to have had a wonderful father like I did. But the good thing about it is, spiritually, we get to pick. And you know, the sad thing is that with that opportunity to choose, the majority, over half, more like 95%, choose the devil to be their father instead of God. Why? And you get to choose. God, you pick the most rotten, horrible being in the universe to be your father if you had a choice. But that's what we do. So many of us. Well, perhaps you are one of those people who want the Father but can't find one. You know, there are a lot who are orphans. And maybe you had a father, but he died. You know, that happened most of the time. Most of the time, the father dies before the child, before the family. And not always. But that's the natural way of things, is for the father to grow old and die before the son, or before the daughter. And so maybe you had a father that he died. Or, like some, there are now that just really don't know who their father is. The mother doesn't even know
a lot of times who the father is. And others, you know, maybe the father's been locked up in jail so long, they wouldn't even recognize him if they saw him, wouldn't know his name. There's so many things like that that happen with people. Well, you know, the word fatherless, be without a father, is used 43 times in the Bible. Maybe you're searching for a father. Maybe you need someone to be a father to you. I remember a song that came out years ago. Fellow sang about how, he was singing to a young lady apparently, about how he would be her father figure. And he'd take care of her. And if you listen to the lyrics of that song, all he really wanted from her was a sexual relationship. That's not the kind of thing that a father should be looking for from his child. But he was telling him he'd be her father figure. That's confusion. That's how confused our world is. But you know, there are a lot of people who would go, they'd be all for that because they're so desperate to have a father, any father. And maybe that's what I'm so many will accept the devil. Because it's easy to have the devil as a father. He doesn't have any rules. He doesn't have any law. No regulations. He never tells you, no, you can't have that or you can't do that. And that's what a lot of people think they want. They want, freedom. Freedom to be miserable. That's what it brings. Following the devil will bring misery. Having him as a father will bring sorrow. Notice what happens to the children of Israel who were supposed to be God's children after they ran away from home. You know, even though children do that, run away from home. Like there was one little boy, he kept walking around and around the block. And after about 5 times around the block, one of the neighbors comes and said, son, what are you doing? He said, I'm running away from home. And the fellow said, well, you're not getting there, son. He said, I know I'm not old enough to cross the street yet. But you know, sometimes we run away from home. You know, children run away from home. Because they want to get away from the rules. They want to get away from whatever it might be going on in the home that they don't like. And they think it'd be better out there. So the children of Israel tried to run away from home. They didn't get away from God. They didn't want to follow his rules anymore. They didn't want to follow his law. And look what happened in Lamentations 5, verses 1 through 5. Jeremiah writes, remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned to strangers. You know, child runs away from home, they're going to lose their inheritance, aren't they? They're going to lose it. Our houses given to aliens. You know, if there's no children left, the house is going to be given to somebody else. It's going to be sold at auction or whatever. In verse 3, he says, we are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water for money. And we've all done that, haven't we? We have to take the water. We used to be free, and you never know. Our wood is sold unto us. That's what I'm familiar to. I guess if you got a tree and cut it down yourself, you don't have to take it. Otherwise, you don't have to buy it. Our nets are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. Wouldn't it have been better to have stayed home and lived under those rules and been able to have an inheritance and a home and a house and a father? Perhaps, however, this morning, you are one of the people who is fortunate enough to have been adopted by God. I know, there are limitations on adoptions in our country and around the world. First of all, adoptions can be very expensive. But secondly, adoptions are limited by how many children can be adopted by a certain family. And they check their income levels and the size of the house to make sure they're, you know, they have enough room and all of these kind of things. But sick, I know, because we've stuck through that process. And there are a lot of things that they deal with when you try to step into adoption. They ask about all these things. And they limit what's possible. This is the wonderful thing about God is He can adopt the whole world. If they're willing, He can adopt every individual in the whole world. There are no limitations on His ability to adopt. There are no financial restraints that make it impossible for Him to care for and provide for that many children. He can do it. He can do it. Well, have you been adopted by God? John 1:12-13, the scripture that was read this morning. But as many as received Him, that being Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So when Jesus came, and those who were willing to receive Him, He gave them a certain power, a certain right. He gave them the right to become the Son of God. To all of those that believe on His name. Now that doesn't mean that when they believed on His name, they became the Son of God. But then He gave them the right or the power to become the sons of God if they believed on Him. That wasn't the end of it. He says, then in verse 13, which were born of God. So just believing on these children is not going to be born of God. Romans 8:15-17, Paul says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to feed it, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit bears witness through the Word. It tells us how to become a child of God and how to remain a child of God. And that will bear witness with our own spirit, which will tell us that if we've done what the Word says or not. And it will, those two will bear witness together whether we are the children of God or not. But He says, and if we're children, then heirs, heirs of God. Don't say we have an inheritance. But I tell you what, there's no inheritance on this earth that can be given that compares with the inheritance that God has for His children. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. And we need to be sure that we have received that spirit of adoption. Galatians 4:3-5 says, even so we were children in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God set forth His Son, made of heaven, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Do you know what it means to be adopted? Timberland kind of describes it this way. He says, well, adopted means that I'm really my body's first instead of independent. It means that someone who is not your parent loves you enough that they wanted to become your parents. Now, one question is, I know we have children who are born into parents who later wish they had never had children and want to get rid of their children. And some do. There's the case of parents killing their own children to get rid of them. And we have abortion constantly in this country by women who don't want a child. How beautiful that it is an adoption. Someone who loves you. Loves you. said about full of unrighteousness you were, don't cherish your thoughts with the devil. I'll still adopt you into my family. That rich of adoption comes from who this. But if you don't live in my house, then you're about not to live. You don't know what to do. This is God's thing. If you're going to live in my house, you're going to live by my word. If you don't think to adopt you, then you're going to be asked to take on my name and my words and my name. That's going to be like me. One of the creatures that found to be given of God, we must first hear the gospel. Jesus said in John 7 and 28, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I have given them the journey for their life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And we've got to hear them first. We've got to listen. And then we must have faith and just believe. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And yet believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God is not upon him. You see, you can't be adopted into God's presence if you don't believe on his Son. But then we must be those who repent about our sins. If that's the gift of our sin to the devil of our Father in heaven.
You've been adopted into the family of God, but you've been a rebellious child. You've been disobedient. Before it's too late, before you go so far that he disowns you, turn back to him. Repent of that sin and make it right. If you're here this morning and have any need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.